Welcome to the Lifecast. We hope that you find this ministry of New Life Assembly of God as an encouragement to you. You will hear messages and lessons in God's Word by our staff and special guests. Enjoy the podcast.
Is your spiritual health and chasing after God. So on that note, let's get into the sermon this morning. It's a very, very simplistic message this morning. And you think that means it'll be short. Well, maybe, all right? We'll see what happens. I am Randy's son, so you never know. You never know. He told me as I was this morning as we were done praying, and he said, just encouraging me, do you need anything? Do you have any questions theologically, this and that? He's like, and it's a bummer, humor skips a generation. I said, yeah, it's a bummer it already skipped a generation. But we like to have some fun with it. If you're not laughing, you're just going to struggle right through sometimes. But this morning, I want to reference a place in Scripture, Proverbs. Depending on the version you read, it says, the friend of a king receives many gifts. But depending on the version you read, many seek favors from a ruler. Everyone is the friend of a person who gives gifts. That's what in Proverbs, 19, verse 6, give you the reference so you know. That's we're going to pull from that and inspire from that something that Scripture talks about. Because we're going to talk about being a friend of God and what that means and what that looks like. Because we come to God in a way sometimes with that ulterior motive of what he can give us. And the Scripture's clear. The friend of a king receives many gifts. A friend of God is going to receive many gifts. But ultimately, is this what motivates us and pushes us towards that? I mean, don't raise any hands this morning because they might be in the room. But we've had some friends who only come to us when they need something. Yeah, I saw some nods, heavy nods from some people. Just don't side-eye anybody, all right? Somebody over there. No, somebody only comes to us when they have a need of something. But is that friendship genuine? Is it true? Is it somebody that I trust? And in our society and culture, there's a great many variabilities in what goes into a friendship and different levels of friendship. But when we look at James chapter 2, verse 23, and the Scripture was fulfilled that says, Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness, and he was called God's friend. It was a belief in God. It wasn't just a belief in God and what he will do for me. It was a belief in God, and it was credited to him in righteousness, this righteousness that comes up, so that we can be a friend of God. Because there's an interesting thing that happens when we have unrepented sin in our life. Unrepented sin is not just, well, I didn't tell God about it. He knows all, but I just didn't tell him about it. Remember, the definition of repentance is not just confessing of our sin, but turning away from our sin. That I am no longer going to live this way. That I am going to repent, turn from it, and become a new creation, born again. Right? So when we have unrepented sin, it's not just, did I confess it to God? Did I say it to God? No, it's turning away from it. Some of us have told God the sins that we commit, but we have yet to turn away from them. And in that, we are serving the flesh, because there's something about sin that feeds our flesh and our carnal desire that we were all born into and born with. For all have fallen short of the glory of God. All have sinned, right? Romans tells us this. And so when Scripture's clear about when we love the world or we're friends with the world, we are at enmity with God. You cannot be friends with someone who is your enemy. Well, keep my enemies closer. That does not apply in this situation. You are picking the wrong enemy. But that's something we need to understand, is unrepented sin in our life, it will lead us astray. Unrepented sin, not just unconfessed sin. Remember, turning away, striving to not do that, striving closer to God, the sanctification process, understanding what is sin and what is not, right? There's some of us in this room that claim ignorance of, well, I didn't know that was a sin, or I wasn't really sure. It kind of is a gray area. I'm not 100% on whether or not this is a sin. That is the beautiful thing about the Holy Spirit bringing conviction into our life, okay, on what is sin and what is not. And that is why we are supposed to keep some of our gray area liberties to ourselves, so we are not a stumbling block, because a stumbling block is a sin. So now the thing that you said was not a sin for you to do, but if it causes someone to stumble, it is now sin. And this unconfessed sin that rules in our life. But when we repent of sin, there is a process to overcoming it. But the thing is that we are now focused on getting better. I had a conversation with a few men in the last year, actually, about what is a good man? Because we're all sinners. Are we really good men? I don't know. But I told them, you're a good man. And they would say, some days it does not feel like it. And I said, you know, a good man is not a perfect man. A good man is one that doesn't give up in the fight. You trip and you stumble, but you don't give up. You don't give up. There's a demonstration of that. There's a demonstration of that. A good man isn't just one who slays the giant. Because who wrote the story of David versus Goliath? Anybody know? Samuel? Yeah. It wasn't David. What is known as one of his greatest victories. He didn't. Who wrote the story of David versus Bathsheba? David. His greatest failure. But through that greatest failure, he did not give up. And what he became and what he did in response to his sin. See, a good man or woman, I'm just using that in context because that's who I was talking to when I first brought that up. But a good man or woman, it's not giving up in the fight. It's not giving up in the fight. See, unrepented sin, all of a sudden we are going to become, because David could have just said, you know, I lusted and I murdered and I lied. And he could have just told God that. And then he could have just, you know, continued living, covering it up and doing whatever he did and all this different stuff. But no, it was a public display of my failure and what it caused in a great divide. And as a king, no less. And what was he known as? A man after God's own heart. To be a friend of God is not to be perfect, but it is to draw near to him and to sanctify ourselves. So sin, we can overcome it by the blood of the Lamb. So we can overcome this. So we can strive to become better. John 15, 14 and 15. You are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing. And I have called you friends, for all that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. Here's the thing. Not all of us are just living in sin. Some of us are still living as servants. Do you get that? The servants are still serving God, so is that really wrong? But understand, he's calling us to a deeper level of relationship with him. He's calling us to faith. Some of us just like to be in the economy class of the airplane that Jesus is flying. But he's called us to this first class relationship in friendship. You are no longer a servant, but some of us are still servants. And how do we know that? Or how do we know that he's called us to be friends? Because he said it, but also he's saying how you go from being a servant to a friend is a servant doesn't know why the master is doing what he is doing. He's saying that he has told us all of these things that his father has told to him. That's spending time in his word. To go from a servant to a friend of God, do you have the kind of friends that if you got into some trouble, they're there? They're ready to roll. All right, fine. They don't even ask what the question, they don't even ask what happened. They just see three guys cornering you and they're like, okay, what's going on? My friend's in trouble. I'm here. I could look around this room and I could find some guys that I think would do that for me. I'm not condoning fighting or anything of the nature, by the way. I'm just giving you a hypothetical. But to know why God is doing what he is doing, he says to go from the servant to a friend, because the servant doesn't know why I'm doing what I am doing. See, some of us don't read the Word of God. We come and just listen to a sermon on a Sunday, and then we live all week, and it's the servant mentality. It's the servant attitude. It's the servant lifestyle. And I'm not saying there's anything inherently wrong with that, but God called you to greater and deeper relationship with him. And if God had something greater for me, why would I be content with the lesser? He called you out of servanthood and friendship. He said, here you go. Here's the game plan. Be invested. It's like buying stocks in your own company you work for. It's like, here you go. We want you to feel like you're part of this. And that's what God did to us. Understanding time in the Word, time in prayer. Because there's this women's book study going on Monday nights about community that my sister Brittany is heading up, and they've had a lot of women going to it, and it sounds super awesome. My wife's been attending it, and she really loves it, and I don't think it's just because she gets out of the house. I think she's really enjoying it, and there's this book they've been reading, and I haven't really heard much about what's going on. And then my wife talked to me one day about a bunch of things. It was great quality time. Perfect, because it was middle of the day, which then that meant that night I didn't have to spend quality time. I could go hunting. No, I'm just kidding. Get it out of the way in the middle of the day so that you could. No, I'm just kidding. I'm joking around. But we had this great dialogue, but she shared with me these statistics in this book that I'm going to share with you now, is the how to go from an acquaintance to a casual friend. Takes about 50 hours of one-on-one time. Just from acquaintance to casual friend. From casual friend to friend is 90 more hours together, one-on-one time. Then to go from friend to best friend, more than 200 more hours to go from friend to best friend. So now, the question is, if you couldn't imagine or see where I was going, what is that one-on-one time with God? How much time have you spent? Are you acquaintances? Are you close friends? Are you best friends? How many hours have you spent with him? In worship, in prayer, in reading the word. You are my friends if you do what I command you. You don't know what he commanded you to do unless you read it. And not just knowing what he commanded you to do, but why? He explains it. He says that's how you go from being a servant to my friend. Is you know why you do this. Because it's free will, right? That's how we know the relationship and the love is real, is he knows because we have a choice to serve him or to not, to be friends with him, to not. I always, always wondered why people would not want more and more from God. To everything he has to offer you. But I'm just going to stay at salvation. His grace and forgiveness. I'm not really going to go for the deeper love. I'm not going to go for some of that deeper blessing and the spiritual gifts or the baptism in the Holy Spirit because it's weird. It makes me feel uncomfortable. I'm not speaking in tongues. I'm not going to go to that. And because what it takes to get there is this sanctification process, this process of reading his word, spending time in it, actually turning away from my sin. Because we want to be friends with this world. Think about how many hours you've spent in this world watching the news on social media. We're connected to everybody, but friends with no one. Just boss man told me that this last week, so I should probably give him some credit. Probably give him some preaching your sermon. Yeah, right. Mine's funny, remember? Okay. Okay. No, but to be a friend of God, to be a friend of God, we cannot be friends with this world. I've said this from this pulpit before, and I still stand by it. There are people in this world that you are to be friends with, but as a Christian, the only reason we are friends with them is so that they can come to know the Savior. It is not because, well, I have to hold on to this friendship. Oh, I have to hold on to this friendship. No. Well, it's fun. It's exciting. We grew up together. We have shared trauma. We have shared stories. The only reason we are friends with people of this world, not of the faith, not of God's family. I am not speaking prejudice, but there is an exclusivity on who we are to spend our time with and who has time and our ear. Because there are people that you are friends with that they encourage you, they transform you, they change your mentality because you give them that opportunity. You spend time with them and tell them about your life and you tell them about your situations. They speak about that thing, not from any biblical context, but a worldly one. And your flesh eats it up and now you have become a friend to this world and an enemy of God. We need to understand this. If we want to be friends with God, we are to, if my left hand causes me to sin, cut it off. It does not mean I harbor bitterness and unforgiveness for my old friends who are living in the world. Rather, I love them and I pray for them and I will invite them into my home. But I am no longer going to the bar with them. I am no longer going to the party with them. I am no longer going to the concert with them. I'm not doing that. And if they ask me why, I tell them it's because God changed my life. You can come to church with me tomorrow. That's what we need to understand. We cannot continue to be friends with this world. You can't do both. Stop pretending. Stop saying that, well, I'm evangelizing. Are you really? Iron sharpens iron. The time we spend in church is important. God told us not to give up spending time together. Gathering together, rather, because of the encouragement that we receive, not just from the pastor in the pulpit, because some of you probably leave here falling for the bait of Satan and being discouraged. I'm not here to discourage you. I am here to love you. And if it sometimes feels like discipline, God disciplines those he loves. He's done it to me. He does it to me every day because I need it. I'm one of those guys. You got to, like, get that stick and just keep me on the line. It's constant. It's called spiritual ADHD. It's no joke. You got to keep me on track 24/7. My poor wife. We can no longer be friends with this world. The church is not to grow because the church has gotten more worldly. That's not it. We are to hold fast to our convictions and stand up for what is right. But remember, to go from servant to friend, you need to understand why. Not just because the pastor told you so. Not just because, well, that's what everybody else is doing. That's a fine starting point for a toddler. And I'm not saying that in a demeaning manner. Some of us newer to the faith, Scripture talks about how we're immature in the faith and we need milk. But there is a time to graduate to solid food. And Hebrews even scolds us to say, you should be teachers by now, rather than just constantly seeking the salvation. Yes, we need salvation. Yes, we need to daily repent. All of these things. But we are not meant to, as I call it, the salvation blender. Sin, salvation, sin, salvation, sin, salvation. We'd be having baptisms every week because all of a sudden I got to get rebaptized. No, we are to become teachers by now. How do you become teachers? By reading and spending time in His Word, spending time with God. Have you spent this year alone, have you spent 200 hours in prayer? Have you spent 200 hours in worship? Have you spent that time in the Word? And no, not just in Sunday church listening to us preach. Have you done it? When I preach, it is the epitome of lead a horse to water. Because you can listen to my sermons, but you cannot drink the water. You can listen to us preach the message. You can go to Bible studies. You can go to devotions, but you're not actually drinking the water. You're hanging around the water cooler. You're talking to a lot of people at the water cooler, but you're not drinking. You're not consuming. Because when we drink water, our body changes, right? When you're super dehydrated, your brain is one of the first things to dehydrate. That's why you get those headaches. Drink water right now. If you have a water bottle, drink it. Yeah, okay, I saw a couple. Your brain is the first thing to get dehydrated. And it's the last thing to rehydrate if you dehydrate beyond that. So when we drink water and consume it, it actually gives us life and it changes our internal workings. It is no different than when we know His Word, when we read His Word. The verse that I've been referencing this whole time is James 4:4, by the way. I haven't been just going rogue and saying something of my own personal opinion. It says, you adulterous people, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. So again, I wasn't just preaching from opinion. God's word is clear. It makes it very obvious. Like I said, this is a very simple message. Become a friend of God. Do it. To be a friend of God, though, you do what He commands you. To know what He's commanded you, you have to read the Word. And to go from just being a servant to a friend, a deeper level in this, we need to know why. How do we know why? By reading His Word. And how do we go from just an acquaintance with God, a friend, a close friend, best friend? The time. The time it takes before it's too late. And I'm not saying too late, you're going to die and, oh no, where are you going to go? It's not just what I mean. Before the struggle and the bitterness and the hardness happens. I'm not saying God can't soften your heart and work his way through those things, but you've met some of those people. Some of those people are your grandparents. Some of those people are your parents. Some of those people are your friends. There has been so much hurt and pain, and they've never gotten to know the truth, and they've never gotten to experience what it is to be a friend of God, and now it is so hard and encased in what is like concrete that it is going to take so much prayer, so much work for you to try to get in there and crack it open and reach them. Why? Because you chose to be a friend of the world. Your friends need you in this world. They need you to speak to them. They need you to be a light. They don't need you to be their friend in the worldly manner. They need you to be a friend of God so that you could speak to them and sharpen them. Just put the time in. That's what it boils down to. That's the main point of everything. To be a friend of God, put the time in. Have we put in 200 hours? Have we become best friends with him? Scripture verses that talk about pray without ceasing, talk about seek his presence, seek his constant presence. To be best friends with God, it takes time. I don't have a bunch of friends that I do things that I know that make them angry because they aren't my friends for very long. To be friends with God is to be an enemy of this world. To be a friend of this world is to be an enemy of God. To become that friend, we gotta put in the time. Prayer, worship, and church, and community, our church community, our Christian community, and all of this time, because it is through that that he ministers to us, he speaks to us, and he transforms us, and he renews our mind. If you ever struggle, you're struggling with, man, I keep thinking like this world, but I know what the word says, but I can't do what the word says and what it asks me. I keep messing up and doing this over, and I keep doing this. A lot of times it's because we've been filling ourselves with things of this world. Podcasts, music, news, TV, movies, books, whatever it is. We take those things in and spiritually it affects us. There's an interesting thing that I heard about music once. Is that we allow things to be said to us in music just because it has a catchy tune that we would never allow somebody to just say to us on the street. I'd probably punch him in the face and say, you're weird. Again, not condoning violence. It's just a hypothetical. But some of the things are heinous. And you think that that doesn't affect the way you view the world? You think that doesn't affect the way that you go about living and making decisions? You spent 200 hours plus listening to that kind of music, but have you spent 200 hours in the Word of God? And you wonder why your brain can't think according to His Word? Because you're a friend of this world. So let's switch that up and change that.
Thanks for joining us on the LifeCast. It is a ministry of New Life Assembly of God in Sparta, Wisconsin. If you are ever in the area, we would enjoy the opportunity of meeting you. Until then, remember, God is for you, not against you.